Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction here on Fightful.com, YouTube.com/Fightful. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always, the Chubby Chief, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, why is this a feature writer in your bio? Like,
just I gotta get Moez. Moez.
I gotta get the graphics department to change that. Like, I need to maybe we'll do Twitter nuisance is taken by O'Neill, but like Twitter retiree, Joseph Holbert?
Maybe. The Terry Funk of this shit. I have to say, Jeremy, I'm a little bit alarmed because I'm looking at the comments that you've taught me how to see, and like a lot of people are here, and that makes me think they're here for another show. Are we false advertising here? Is they expecting Sean Rossette?
As JJ has rightfully pointed out, favorite big stars. We are big stars. Joseph, never a fun time talking about release talent. There's enough great talent out there in the market for Joe and his vision for NWA. Thank you for the incredible hard work. Joseph, who are we signing to the NWA out of the people that got released yesterday?
We need Billy to get Corgan.
Yeah, Billy Corgan, big fan of the Braun Strowman.
Of course. We need to get Curtis Axel first, right? Well overdue NWA guy. Who would actually be the most – I mean, it's – I don't even want to say it, but you know who it is, right? It's one of the women, but I'll leave it. Let's not do that here. Let's move on, because we have a lot of positivity to talk about, as in people losing their jobs, which is not actually positive. Well, why are we doing an hour about this? Because we have no wrestling to talk about, because we only watch one show a week now, and we reviewed the pay-per-view on Twitch. It's no longer on Wednesdays. It's actually now on Fridays, meaning our Thursday show is basically useless. That's what we're talking about today.
Who was the woman? Lana? Corgan had many nice things to say about Lana.
One of the other ones.
Oh, okay. All right. Guys, a reminder, leave us a super chat, get your question, comment, statement read on air. Leave us a thumbs up. Do a thumbs up, Joseph. There you go. Give us a thumbs up on the gimmick there. Subscribe to the channel. You can also subscribe to a Patreon, two different Patreons. Go to FIFO Select, where Sean's breaking news all the time. Or you can go to Distraction Choice, patreon.com/thedistraction, where we're not breaking any news, but Joseph's doing shows with Bob O'Neill talking about Brock Lesnar for an hour.
It was a good show. I like that. That is very much Bob's like expertise. You know what is interesting, Jeremy?
He broke down in the middle of the show, is what I heard.
He cried. Yeah, Braun Strowman has just left him devastated. It was interesting is only 2-3 months into Brock's run, they're doing like Heyman interference finishes. And I said to Bob, I was like, bro, Twitter would have a field day, right? He needs Heyman to beat Bubba Ray Dudley, like, which is proof to what I've always said. WWE booking has never been Twitter proof, has it? It would always be considered actually bad. But nonetheless, that is a show we do. You can pay us $1 or more to consume a collection of awful content.
Pay more. Give us all your money, everyone. Yeah. We're trying to buy the NWA. I feel like we're pretty close to our goal. Yeah, I think we're almost there. Joseph's going to defeat Nick Aldis for the NWA World's Heavyweight title. Do you know who's held that title, Joseph?
Race, Rhodes, Funk, Flair, Tim Storm. Adam Pearce.
Briscoe.
Yeah, Briscoe.
Oh, Briscoe's always in there. Okay. A unfortunate day yesterday, as for the third straight month. Did you know this, Joseph? Three straight months WWE has done releases. Braun Strowman, Lana, Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, Buddy Murphy, I'm not forgetting, Santana Garrett were all released yesterday. And then in September, they will be free. Who of this list surprised you, Joseph?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the cynical, just kind of dismissive answer. No one surprised me because I'm aware of the system that's been built in front of us. And when I heard the phrase major name, we think very highly of a lot of guys on the WWE roster. There are very few legitimate major names. There are very few candidates that fit that bill to me and could be likely releases. And listen, I'm not going to name the other ones that came to mind because they, thank God, they kept their jobs. Good for them. Braun is a guy who had, as far as I know, had vanished after the pay-per-view. And this is not a scoop. Clearly, we're not reporters. We've got, you know, Sean Ross Sapp to do that on the site. He's fine without us. But I think in terms of speculation, I think this Braun Strowman thing is more tactical than it may appear from the outside looking in, which we can get into, okay, later on. But none of them surprise me because you have a system where effectively there are about six people that are actually not replaceable. And honestly, that's probably a stretch. Like, I'm not saying this as a knock on the talent or a defense of the promotion. I'm for the talent. I barely watch this product. What I'm saying is they have successfully built a structure in which what we see as the nuance of each talent, they just see as like a role that could be filled by any of the guys they sign every week for the PC. And it's a matter of, you can see the shift in approach, Jeremy, it's a matter of established expensive names seemingly being rotated out for cheaper newcomers. That rotation is not going very quickly or smoothly because the rosters look tiny right now by modern main roster standards. But we have to be realistic about where we're at. There's been a shift, man. They've changed their approach. It's a sudden change, so I get why people are shocked because, you know, a couple of years ago it was sign everyone. But, like, the writing's on the wall. For whatever that is, the writing's on the wall in the sense that they've told us what they're going to do here. Very few people are safe. And I don't mean that in a sort of threatening, ominous, dramatic way. I just mean it in a realistic, this is where we're at right now. For better or worse, this is where we're at.
Strowman was surprising to me because he was just on WrestleMania against Shane McMahon. Like, that was a big match for them. We talked about it in the lead up. Like, they see Shane McMahon as like a big match. Mm-hmm. And they gave that spot to Braun Strowman. He just wrestled for the title at WrestleMania Backlash. Had a good performance in that match too. Like, people were pretty high on Strowman coming out of WrestleMania and then WrestleMania Backlash. Obviously, when you get into the contract stuff and budget cuts and everything, you see, like, all right, they're paying him a lot. And like you said, like, only a handful of these guys really move the needle. And Strowman, he's not one of those guys. And you see the reports of, like, oh, they got Omos now. Like, that's just their big dude that they want to push. Like, why do we need Braun Strowman when we have Omos to do that stuff? Or Commander Aziz? Like, why do we need Strowman when we have these guys who are cheaper, who we can fill this kind of monster type role? And so when you think of it like that, like, you get it. Strowman was still surprising, though. I thought that guy was just, he was going to be there forever. And I told you this through text, and I'll say it here later. When we get into kind of where we think these people are going to go. I think he ends up back in WWE, and I'll give my reasons shortly after. That one was surprising. Lana a little bit, because that was another one of like, yeah, she's probably just going to be in WWE, and that's just going to be her role. She just signed, but much like Strowman, she signed a new deal in 2019, and that was I'm sure she got paid well on that deal. And yeah, if they're doing budget cuts, just... So unfortunately, what it's got to be. Santana Garrett wasn't really being used. Aleister Black. That one was surprising in a sense, like, literally 2 weeks ago, he appeared in the main event. And they run these vignettes for the last month, hyping his return. And again, he was in the main event, and he cost Big E the Intercontinental title. And he's like, all right, well, this is our program here. And then he's gone. And Murphy, like, he hasn't been on television since the Mysterio stuff. So... that is what, but even before that with Black, like, he was off TV for 7 months. So they didn't have like too many plans for him. It seems pretty obvious, but Yeah, Strowman was surprising, though, I must say.
So here's the thing with Strowman. And again, I want to put a disclaimer on this because I do appreciate we're on a big platform. None of us have a clue what's going on, Jeremy and I, that is. You know, we're just analyze this from the outside looking in. That statement you said there, Jeremy, about I just always thought he's a WWE guy. I think the people involved in these decisions are smart enough to know that. And that's why he's the expensive guy that fell on the sword here. And what I mean by that is, here is a guy who, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, has said some pretty disparaging things about some guys in the other promotion. A guy who's kind of alienated himself from that sort of culture, would probably be the right word, you know? And in addition, a guy that, while he is a star, and there are a lot of young fans that love Braun Strowman and are going to miss him, he is not a guy the AEW audience is just desperate for.
Yeah.
To me, this is a tactical move in the sense of it sends a message to the talent because, frankly, again, unless you're one of those five, six people, you're going to be looking at Braun Strowman saying, well, holy shit, he was just in, as you said, he just worked Shane McMahon. He just did a WWE title match, you know? But when you combine that, they've achieved that part of it, they've cut the wage, and they've also let go a guy that they're not particularly worried about AEW picking up for the reasons I just mentioned. I think they're aware of the perception of Braun Strowman, and I think that's hurt him here. Which, you know, lesson learned. He was a guy who wanted to be loyal. I'm not going to shame him for it. Like, he's, you know, he's been built in that system. I'm not going to hear clown the guy. I don't believe in any of that. The guy lost his job. You know, I wish him well. But I do think it's a factor, Jeremy. I really do. You know, this is not a guy that, as he was released, we saw the all-in, you know, graphics and the sort of excitement about, oh my God, imagine this match and that match, right? It was a guy who immediately, in fact, everyone sort of went, well, what's Braun going to do? And your theory, you can get into now, but I think that's relevant here. I really do.
I could see, you know, Impact making a play for him. Yep. NWA, Corgan mentioned on Busted Open Radio, he's like, yeah, Strowman's a guy that would be a great fit in NWA. My theory is that he just ends up back in WWE because, and he signed a big deal reportedly over like $1 million a year. And if it's, you know, if it's budget cuts, they want that money to come down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But because he is loyal, because WWE is like all he's known, because he has made the remarks that he's made, I could see Braun just being like, all right, you know, I made 2 years worth of $1 million per year. I feel like you're probably kind of set there. You can take a little bit of a pay cut and he may like, all right, as long as I'm back here, I'm back in WWE. That's what I believe is going to happen with Braun. I think he ends up back in WWE. Would I be surprised if he goes to Impact or NWA? No, because they might match his price and they might, and you know, he might just take the money there. And if he does, you know, good on him. Get the bag, secure the bag, as the kids like to say, Joseph. But I think he ends up back in WWE. I'd be pretty stunned if he was in AEW. I just don't know where he fits. And the audience, I think Tony Khan is smart enough to know, like, the audience with that one is probably not where it's going to be.
Yes, the only part with AEW that makes it somewhat feasible to me is Mark Henry and Big Show being there. You know, because we know they're both huge supporters. Because, look, I'm not, you know, Henry's just got the job. But if Mark Henry really fought for him, it'd be interesting if that changes the dynamic any. But I think Impact is the really, I don't want to say the only option because it's dismissive of the other promotions, but it feels like the most likely of non-WWE, as you pointed out. I mean, they're currently pushing W. Morrissey. You know, if they can do that, they certainly would push Strowman.
Yeah.
But I tend to agree with your instincts, Jeremy, that he's going back. Now, the guy that a lot of people seem most excited about, I think everyone that watches the show and knows my takes knows that Buddy Murphy was the guy that I, as a fan, was like, I'm fired up to see what this guy does. And we'll get into him soon. But the biggest one, I think, was Aleister Black. Would you agree? That seems to be one that most people are fantasy booking and kind of trying to figure out, you know, what he's going to do. I'm not dismissing him as a guy that returns eventually either. And I was in, you know, and this is not about what he said about, you know, Dirt Sheet was up. It was a stressful day. I wish him the best. But just the way he talked about the company in general, it wouldn't surprise me if his decisions now are very much that of a guy who eventually wants to get back. You know, and that may mean that he does Ring of Honor or, you know, some stuff in Japan rather than all in. Because, you know, they are viewed as the adversaries and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think he's an interesting one to go back. Where do you stand on him? Like, where would you like to see him? Where do you expect to see him? All that good stuff.
I think he does sort of an independent run to kick off. Yeah. I do think he goes to AEW, though. Mm. I don't know. I don't know what their budget situation is. You joke. I think it was a joke. You joked that is WWE just trying to like kill AEW's budget by releasing all these guys? It's Russo being sent to WCW all over again, Joseph. That's what's really happening here. I think he goes to AEW though. I think he has a lot of respect from his peers in that company. I think he, I mean, I don't know who is a difference maker, but like he's a guy that stands out on that roster. I do worry that, you know, like you listen to some of Aleister Black's ideas, like he was talking on Twitch and even before this stuff when he was just doing like interviews and whatnot, like some of that stuff's got to be reined in a little bit. Wrestlers all think like their ideas are like the greatest ever, and there's a reason why some of them doesn't get through. Like I think Aleister Black has like cool ideas and stuff, but some of that stuff might need to be reined in a little, and I think he could thrive with it reined in AEW.
So then it gets to a point of, and again, we'll get into the other names that are relevant here, but it then gets to a point of one of the biggest free agency pools we've seen in years, you'd expect at least two or three of these guys to land in AEW. You know, look, I'm pretty confident that the Iconics will be AEW.
Really? I'm not.
Interesting. Well, we'll get into that. We will get into that. But either way, a couple of guys are going to go there, right? You know, law of averages and such. And the question is, with the contracts that were initially given in AEW coming to an end, it's like, do we see a genuine turnover of that roster where a lot of guys are just not re-signed? It's an interesting question because most of the guys, and by like genuinely a high percentage of those guys that, you know, are still on the roster and such, have been featured enough that it would be weird for them to not be re-signed, right? Because everyone kind of is used a certain amount of protected. I think there's a couple of names, right now, name them here, that are like, you kind of feel like they've not been used enough to make it worth anyone's while. But that's a big factor here. You know, is this a case of the roster just keeps growing, or are we going to see a lot of guys just like, we're not releasing you, it's a matter of we're not re-signing you? That feels somewhat likely to me as we get more and more releases from WWE.
I think this is very likely because, like you said, these initial waves of first contracts are coming up. The initial wave was 3-year deals. And they're either going to expire in January when the company was first announced, or the first pay-per-view, like the first events, which what was that? I know the first one was – I guess the first one was Double or Nothing, so that was May. I was thinking it was one of the specials before that. But no, Double or Nothing was first. So they're either going to expire – regardless, it's a year. It's about a year or less when they're going to expire. There are some guys on that initial wave, you're right, that they're not being used that much and they can probably not be re-signed. Then AEW will just chug along and they can add these WWE guys and kind of freshen up the roster and go from there. Like AEW is producing a lot of content. They've got Dynamite. They're adding Rampage, which if it's going to be on the level of Dynamite, you're going to need some guys to put on that show as well, because I don't know how well that 10 o'clock Friday Dynamite didn't do like great, but I think it did okay for being, you know, first time and everything. And we'll see how the numbers are this week. Tony Khan loves having the big roster too. I mean, he gets these guys on the show, right? Even though he has these big rosters, like there's still a spot for all of these guys, whether that's good or bad, we've talked about many times, but there's a spot for all of these guys on this roster.
No, I agree. I mean, look, there's a couple guys that were in the main event of the last pay-per-view. That, you know, I think everyone knows where I'm going here. There was probably a guy on each side that you would not consider a main event guy. Not that it mattered, it was a faction match. But it still was a case of, like, as deep as it is, I don't think they're in a position where it's like they can turn down supreme elite talent, right? Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's a great roster. They still feature guys that, in my view, are far inferior to the names we're talking about here. In some cases, not all, but in some cases, there are guys on the pay-per-view Sunday that I could easily switch out for some of these free agents and make the show better, in my view. And that gets into them. So you're saying Aleister Black, you could see him going there. Buddy Murphy is a really interesting name to me because if I was to advise Buddy Murphy, I think he really is a guy that has the kind of an interesting choice. If he goes somewhere not AEW, okay, he's an immediate top guy to me. Because his in-ring ceiling and just physical appearance as such, it makes perfect sense, right? I could also see him being a real player in Japan.
Like a real, I could see that, you know, like I think his style is such, and look, we all do the jokes about the Omega stuff and it's a meme, but like,
Joseph, did you know literally everyone calls him Better Omega?
There you go.
Joseph, literally everyone.
There you go. You know, and it's a meme, but it's a real thing, right? Like his style would fit there because a lot of his style is kind of been stolen, borrowed, or say borrowed from there. You know, and he's a guy who just size-wise, I could see him either going and doing, basically doing what he did in the cruises with the juniors. Sometimes they love doing that. They adore the guy that's definitely not a junior heavyweight going over and kicking the shit out of these poor Japanese guys. So I could see that. I could see him being a top heavy. Like, he has options now. In AEW, I think his ceiling is decidedly lower.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a knock on him. It's just like, he feels like he's sitting there would be where it should have been in WWE, which is upper mid guy that has great TV matches. Good role. What does he want to do is the question.
What if New Japan just brings him in and just like, here's Kenny Omega?
I mean, Twitter's tried. Maybe.
Like literally, they're just like, guys, it's Kenny Omega. Like that, he's back. He's feuding with Kota Ibushi. He's doing Golden Lover stuff. He's doing a feud with like Ospreay and everything coming after the title, the Tanahashi matches. They run back the Okada matches and everything. That's what it is. They just bring him in as Kenny Omega.
Imagine he just does the Okada matches again. Like just repeats them. Beat for beat. Look, I think he's a tremendous wrestler. I really do. And I think it's difficult because, again, like, his value could be increased by going elsewhere and being an actual top guy, you know? Yes. This is the thing. I agree with the Dissident Demon says, I've seen Murphy's promo as top guy. He's a bit of a stretch. That's why I said elsewhere. Because, like, bro, I don't know if you've seen who's working on Tottenham Ring of Honor and Impact, but, like, they're not Ric Flair on the mic. Like, you can, you know, their presentation's different.
Oh, AEW
isn't, really. Yeah.
Ring of Honor would be good. I mean, that promotion has very little buzz, but Ring of Honor would just be good for some good matches and everything. Yeah, he could easily be a top guy on that show.
It's different. Every place. And that's why I think in the AEW, it's clearly a lower spot. The question is if it pays better, and he would still be used, because we know, like, the thing is, man, when you're a certain level of talent in AEW, the amount of mouths to feed may, like, slow your kind of progress somewhat. But you're not going to get forgotten. Like, you'll do stuff and you'll be cycled in and out. I mean, we spoke about it last week, but like Ethan Page, I mean, his first pay-per-view cycle, he legitimately worked Sting. If I'm a Buddy Murphy, I'm not going to be sitting there defeated about the fact they've got 100 guys. I'm saying, well, look, he just did it. I think he's the one that's most intriguing to me. Now, the one name, Jeremy Lambert, to me is like, you got to sign. The only one of all of these names that is a must sign is Ruby. It has to be.
Real quickly, let me catch up on some super chats. Bud Ryan says, Wax and Vax, ready for Hot Boy Summer. Congrats on the Sixers advancing, Joseph, and surviving a pod with Bob. You two got me through a lot this year. As things open up, I hope I can thank y'all in person. Bud Ryan, we're going to be in full gear, right? I think that's a scoop. Not really a scoop, but...
I hope so. I'm in Philadelphia for full gear, and I would be devastated if I missed saying, you know, spectacular while being in the country. It'd be brutal for me.
I will let everyone know right now. I will be it all out. I will be at full gear if Joseph is there. If Joseph isn't going, then I might skip that one. You're the only reason I'm going, Joseph. Don't let the people down. And I will be at WrestleCade. All Out's in Chicago. WrestleCade's in North Carolina. So if anybody is going to any of those three events and wants to say hello, come hang out, I will be. And I'll be at SmackDown in Cleveland July 23rd. So I'll be at all those events if you guys want to come say hi.
My God. It's like you're doing indie bookings at the end of the show. See me here, see me there, see me everywhere.
That's right. I'm going to post I'm going to do that now. I'm going to post the schedule up on my Twitter, like upcoming indie dates and just coming out, do a meet and greet, all this fun stuff. Frank Aguilar says, I just want to thank you guys for the amazing content every week. The Patreon is worth every penny of the feedback you guys ask for also. Cheers. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it, buddy. And that's everything. Okay. Ruby Wright. Yes. If you are AEW, like you've 100% got to make that signing. Their women's roster has grown and has been, better over the past year. And I don't think like this is like a big knock, on them anymore. Like it's probably still like the knock because people are going to knock them for something. And that's still what it's going to be. But their women's roster has really turned it around over the last year. You've still got to sign Ruby because she has a different aesthetic than all these women that you have, and she's really great in ring.
She's, you know, honestly, people will not believe this, but it's the truth. She's really quite special in a way that, honestly, very few of these names are. I mean, they're all great talents, but they're very familiar in a lot of ways, you know? I mean, I just talk about how great Buddy Murphy is. It's not a kind of unique role that he fills. He's a great match guy. It's fine. Ruby Riott is someone that, as you said, she's got a different dynamic, but more than that, she's a tremendous promo, which was something they tapped into when she first came out as a heel, and they just kind of got away from it. She's a very good promo. She's someone that's able to inject emotion into her stuff, which is a dying art in itself. She can be a great sort of underdog babyface or a bitter, spiteful heel. And as you said, her work is tremendous. In fear of being hyperbolic, they haven't... I don't know if they've got a female talent that you could say is objectively better than Ruby at all of the, you know, different things that you would look for in a pro wrestler. Her run is such that people don't quite appreciate where her ceiling is. You know, because her run was basically... Initially, it was someone they trusted. And then as soon as she came back, it was legitimately a case of just like, they never had any plans for Ruby, right? All they did was they put her with Liv when they stopped having plans for Liv. That was, you know, that was about it. So Ruby to me, as silly as it sounds, because there's some incredible, incredible names out there, for AEW, she's the top priority, man. Like, I've got guys that can do similar stuff to Aleister Black or Buddy Murphy, maybe even Samoa Joe. But Ruby Riott is a premier female talent for a division that, yes, it's got better and it's good. It isn't, skill-wise, it isn't a level where you can pass on Ruby Riott for me. I think it will be a genuine miss, Jeremy, if they do not get her. I really do. To me, she's like the one that I go immediately, you've got to try and make that deal happen. Especially when you add, like, everything I just said and then sprinkle over the fact that she's, like, the most beloved wrestler in the industry. You know, like,
yeah,
it's a special talent, a special person. So that's what I'm hopeful for.
Of all the people that they got released yesterday, like, I saw more messages and, you know, a lot of the peers were commenting overarching and they did leave singular comments, but like Ruby got so many positive comments after being released yesterday. And yeah, it seems like she's beloved by everyone and her work is different than everybody else. Yeah. And yeah, I think if you're AEW, that's a way you have to go, and that's somebody you definitely need to sign, because the women's division is still a weak point for them compared to the rest of the roster. Adding her is a definite upgrade and a good get for them. People are going to mention Lana. The Miro Thai is clearly there. Here's my hot take on Lana, Joseph. I don't think she does wrestling. I think she goes entertainment route. Miro's making, I'm sure, good money from AEW. She's made good money in WWE. I know she really loves wrestling. She's worked hard to improve and everything. She just seems like such a WWE person that I don't think the AEW women's division is really fit for her. You know, if you're going to use her as a manager, tie her with Miro, like, that seems weird with where he's at right now. I guess you should go to Impact or something. And, you know, ROH needs all the help they can get with their women's division. I really think she's just going to go the entertainment route. She's been in movies. She likes doing television, everything. She talks a lot about all the acting classes and stuff. I think that's where she goes.
I'll say this. I don't disagree with your general point. I think you'll be proven correct. I'd be really surprised if she doesn't make at least an appearance in AEW, to be honest.
Fair. Yeah.
Like, I could easily see her showing up for the finish of a Miro match. And the thing with the Miro deal is it's impossible for your mind not to immediately go to Rusev and Lana on WWE TV.
Right.
It's like that could be a whole lot cooler and more casual than it was in WWE, you know? Like, Miro's basically this badass guy that looks like a beast, and, like, now he would just have his wife next to him. It doesn't have to be a case where she's cheating on him and, you know, he's got something on his dick and all this terrible shit. Like, it could easily just be that. And that's where you know, and I don't disagree with you. I've seen everyone say it, but it's like, we all have to like, retrain our minds, right? It's like, she's not going to be, you know, waving the Russian flag and doing a bad accent. It could literally just be, here's Miro's wife. And she could wrestle matches. Look, people can say one, but I think her work is absolutely just fine. She's a TV wrestler. She's fine. there's a whole lot worse on dark and dark elevation, to be frank. Okay, so I could see her doing stuff, but I generally agree with your point that she's probably the most likely of the group to like just be like, it was fun, wrestling was fun, we're gonna go do other stuff now, you know. And either way, I don't think it matters either way. In fear of being dismissive of Lana, I don't think, you know, I'm not sure there's many people that are like waiting on the edge of their seats for that announcement. It's like she'll do what she's gonna do. I think she'll be fine either way.
What do we make of, I mean, they released these people and there's talks of the sale. Is that what you think they're gearing up for here? Like, do you think, let me ask this. Okay. In 3 years, is WWE sold within the next 3 years?
I would say yes. I would say that instinctually, but I, you know, obviously I don't know. I've seen kind of contrasting takes from people that are more informed than I. It certainly is the landscape for it, right? I mean, we've seen these kind of, and just to, I guess people are aware, right? The ideology would be, to use them as an example, an NBC Universal, rather than paying broadcasting rights for Raw or SmackDown, would buy the company in order to just, then they own that content and they can distribute as they want. Basically, it's just, it's like a big, you know, chessboard and these big monsters just picking up pieces. That's really what it is. I think it's really hard to read because none of us have a clue where Vince is at, ever, yeah. Let alone now, right? Because you hear some stuff, and you know this better than I do, I mean, you transcribe a lot of it. Some of the stuff suggests he's barely there. You know, he's not on TVs and stuff. And then you hear Jimmy Smith say, well, Vince was in my ear. It's very difficult to know how hands-on he is, especially when so much talent's being cut, which is very much in contrast to seemingly their approach over the last decade. My instincts are, though, that the media landscape suggests it would make sense, that they're already half kind of, you know, got a leg in bed with the Peacock deal. You know, it kind of provides a bridge in that regard. So I would say yes, but I'm nowhere near educated enough to be like, it's happening. You know, like, it could literally just be a case of a non-wrestling guy saying, why are we paying this guy seven figures? And again, wrestling people, those of us watching this show, us doing it, we may know the difference between an Aleister Black and a Karrion Kross. Let me tell you, man. The guys that are looking at them numbers, they don't give a shit about those differences. And that may frustrate you, but it's the truth, right? And let me stress again, I'm not defending the company. What I'm saying is it could literally be as simple as they've been spending money on guys they don't need a whole lot. And a new non-wrestling guy that I will not name because he gets very mad, he may have came in and just gone, why are we doing this again? That seems awful likely to me, Jeremy. I mean, I think a sale could happen, but that just seems like it could be explaining itself.
I mean, there's clearly been sweeping changes under Nick Khan. And not only like sweeping changes, like just the thought process you mentioned earlier is like a year ago, 2 years ago, it was like, all right, sign everybody, keep them away, and just hoard all this talent. Now it's like, hey, release the guy that just wrestled for the WWE title on a pay-per-view a month ago. Release the guy that just wrestled Shane. Release the guy that we just brought back to television in a main event spot 2 weeks ago. Like, it's clearly changed. You're right. Is it, they could just be looking at the books and be like, okay, who's moving here? We're paying this guy this much. I don't know about that. I think they do get sold. I don't know about 3 years. Maybe I was a little under on that, but I don't know how Vince is clearly like hands on still with like the creative stuff, because you hear all these stories. But you're right. Like, when it comes to television, you'll hear stuff like, oh yeah, Vince wasn't there this week. You listen to the financials calls and everything. Like, Nick Khan runs those things. Vince doesn't say like two words on those anymore. He gives a little opening statement and then he's like, all right, Nick, you're running the rest of it. Like, he runs that stuff now. I feel like he's running a lot of these business decisions. And Vince is still kind of running sort of the day-to-day when it comes to creative, when he shows up to the Raws and the SmackDowns. But I think Nick Khan's really running that executive stuff. And maybe he's positioning them for a sale. I think he's just positioning them as he's running this like it's Hollywood, or he's running this like it's a big business. And he's not thinking about like, oh, yeah, this is a little mom and pop like wrestling organization. Because they've been – I mean, Bully Ray has called them that before. Like, when the McMahons run it, like, they still – they thought it was like a small business thing. You talked family or whatever, but they looked at it as a wrestling company. Nick Khan's in here. He's like, no, we're an entertainment company here. Like, Vince calls it sports entertainment. Nick Khan's like really running it like sports entertainment.
So this is where, in fear of getting into a subject far too big for our shitty show, I think it's worthwhile to make the next step on this. Okay. You said and I agree with you. It appears that Vince is still running the day-to-day creative. Now, look, guys, wrestling is subjective. You can like what you want to like. With all due respect, what the fuck is the day-to-day creative of that company? And I mean this in the most sincere, non-sort of dramatic, you know, elaborate way possible. What does that mean? Because I don't watch those TV shows. But it appears to me that there is a whole lot of legitimate recycling.
It's legitimate day-to-day, Joseph. It's, okay, what are we doing today?
What are you doing? But what are they doing on a day? You know? Like, I just don't understand. There's no ideas, Jeremy.
Again, it's day to day. It's all right. What are we doing today? It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. It doesn't matter what we did last week. It doesn't matter what we're doing tomorrow. What can we do today to put content out there? That's what it is.
But I agree with that theory in the sense that, yes, it's clearly changing every day. But what is actually changing? There's no ideas. So genuinely, guys, super chats or just I'll try and see it in the comments. I'm befuddled by this, okay? It's pretty obvious that Roman Reigns and he's on the screen, our ally, Paul Heyman, have got good control of what's going on because it's a different thing to the whole company.
Yes.
All right. So I can know that. I'll put that in its corner as a good creative idea because I like the Roman Reigns stuff. Folks, I've praised it many, many times. Maybe not on here, but on Twitch many times. It's great. I love Roman Reigns. The Uso stuff's fabulous. Great. Put that over there. What's the overarching ideas in the promotion? Like, I know you, I'm not saying like daring you to answer it because I know you don't give a shit, but like genuinely, can we try and figure this out? Because from where I stand, it's just like they kind of do feuds.
They do matches. They do matches.
Yeah, like Bob and Drew they've been feuding for 3 months. They're not having a feud, right? They just wrestle.
Yeah, exactly. They're just doing matches. Like
there is no creative.
No, there's none. Just like what matches are we gonna kind of do? You know,
yeah.
Who can we pair with who to do matches for this week on television, and then we'll do the same match next week on television. Like, that's where they're at. You take away, you're right. Like, you take away the Roman stuff. People praise SmackDown. I watch SmackDown every week. I got to review SmackDown every week. You take the Roman stuff off that show, it's the same show as Raw. It's the same matches every week. It's the same dumb finishes. It's the same nonsensical stuff. But Roman and his stuff is so good that people are like, oh, yeah, SmackDown. Good show. And Roman, credit, thank God, does take up like 40 minutes of the show. So it's like, all right, yeah, you know, the majority of the show isn't that bad. But it's all the same. Like NXT's gotten to that now. I said it the other week. I was like, NXT a hoodwinked me. Thought the show was good. No, it's just it's the same stuff you get on Raw or SmackDown. No, I called it. It was a triple threat match, number one contender. I was like, oh cool, Adam Cole is gonna come out and this is gonna be a four way. And they just skipped that step. They're like, instead of doing a fatal four way number one contender, we'll just do a big five way match at the takeover. Yes. And that's in 2 weeks. It's like Karrion Kross doesn't have an actual feud. He's just like, all right, here's the top four guys that we think, and we're just going to put them all in a match. It's the manatees. The manatees are pushing the ball across the little tank that they're in and coming up with these ideas. That's all it is.
Okay, but here's the thing. I don't watch NXT closely enough. I do believe, right or wrong, there is some sense of like wrestling ideology to NXT. I don't think they're particularly good at television. Weekly TV, 2 hours, okay? But I do think that in NXT, there are people that actually would say, we really like this guy. He's a good promo, he's a good worker, whatever it may be, we'll feature him here. We like this guy over here, you know, we're gonna put him up top. This guy, we're not so sure, we'll take him off. This may sound insane. I do not believe these things exist in WWE main roster anymore. I do not, because Braun Strowman was just in a pay-per-view main event, which tells me whoever put him in that pay-per-view main event put him there because Braun Strowman has been in pay-per-view main events before, and the booking is legitimate. And I need to stress, people can say all about WWE for the last 20 years. It has got much worse, because to me, the booking now appears to just be, let's ensure that everyone treads water. And it's like, I can't even tell you like what the ideas are. Like, I can't tell you who's getting pushed up. I can't tell you I can't even see who's being like brought down. Everyone's just like this. It's been that way now for a while, and I will say, I remember when we started this show and Heyman was doing Raw. You could, whether you like that show or not, and Heyman definitely showed at times that he's like not what he was. But some of his shit was so obviously poorly, like just throwing stuff on the wall. But like, there were still guys you could tell getting pushed on that show, right?
Yeah.
I have no clue what the equivalent is now. It is a product that is paused. And so while I understand what your point is about, you know, it's day-to-day creative, everything's changing. It's like, but what is changing? Because I look at the shows, okay? Clearly, one of the writing crews, or maybe it's Bruce himself, enjoys doing the stuff with Alexa. And that's like that's his own thing. And it's, you know what I think about it, folks? I don't want to get into it here, but, you know, it's what it is. It's there. Okay, I'll accept that. Bob and Drew having, you know, just lifeless, just back and forth because they need to fill these months before they get back on the road. And is that what we're doing here? We're going to pretend it's about the road again? Like the same way that in 2019 it was about Fox. When we get to Fox.
Yeah. Bro, they're dangling the carrot. It's like TNA all over again. Oh, when we get TNA, when we get television, when we get primetime. They're the new TNA, Joseph. WWE is now TNA. No. Just dangling the carrot of, all right, yeah, Fox. Oh, okay, when we get back on the road. The WrestleMania. Like, that's all it is.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm rambling, folks. And I apologize, but this is why I'm not surprised when all these poor men and women get cut, because they aren't sitting there talking about wrestlers the way we talk about them. You know, some of the writers might be, but guess what? They have no say. They're just going to suggest stuff and do their best. Like, do you really think, honest to God, do you think anyone in that front office was like, we can't cut Ruby Riott? She's a great promo and has good matches. No, they don't give a shit. They're literal cogs on the wheel. And that's why I have tried my best to talk about it less on here, the television, because firstly, I do not watch it anymore because I just, it's not for me. But when it comes to these discussions of overarching, it's like, it's such a cliche to say WWE is not a wrestling company. But at some point, we do have to analyze what the idea of a wrestling company actually is. Because granted, wrestling may now have become, to be successful in wrestling, you need to make a lot of content and basically just fill hours. It's the reality of the situation. AEW's about to do it. They're going to have 4 shows very soon. And trust me, those 2 YouTube shows, they would like to sell those 2. That's wrestling. That's content. That's media. Fine. At the same time, what is it you like about wrestling? Not you particularly, but just the general folks we're talking about here, like the dialogue we're discussing. What of it is replicated on WWE TV? Because I do not see the things that I'm used to. I mean, it's just a stagnant, flat line. And with that, I would be concerned if I was one of the talents on there, because it's like, there's no, you know, as you just said, a guy was in the main event basically of a pay-per-view and was cut 3 weeks later, because it's like, yeah, well, of course he's in the main event. He's the top guy here. You just cut him. Like, there's no, you know, there's no guy fighting his corner. It's just, you're just going in circles, filling hours with no sort of, and that's why I think there's such apathy towards the product. I know this has become a rant. I try not to do that, but it's just, I don't know, Jeremy. I really do feel like now more than ever, it's time to discuss like what this even is that we watch. Or I don't even try to, but what people watch on Mondays and Fridays. If you like it, by the way, God bless. It's not, you know, I like terrible shit. But it's just, I can't put my finger on it, Jeremy Lambert. You're going to have to help me here. But I read these takes and I just don't get it.
Well, I'm probably not the person to ask, because when it comes to the television, I don't have to watch Raw anymore. If I end up turning it on, I turn it on. Sometimes a girlfriend wants to watch it. I'm like, all right, sure, we'll throw it on. SmackDown, I have to watch, but like I said, like I like the Reign stuff. I have fun with some of the other stuff, but I don't get attached to any of this. I think for the same reason that you don't get attached to a lot of this is it's just like, why bother? Things are going to change very soon. Right. Like plans always change. The day to day always changes. I have no reason to get attached to these people. Covering it as much as I do, I just also don't want to get an attachment of like, if something happens, I don't want to feel bad about that and having to cover that and everything. So I just try not to get attached to any of these wrestlers or whether on screen or off. I'm the wrong person to ask this, especially when it comes to WWE, because I don't watch a lot. NXT, like, I like some of the guys in NXT. I will say that. Like, I like Adam Cole. I have no problem admitting that. Oh. But I'm not going to be attached to Adam Cole and be like, oh, he lost. So I'm really sad now. I'm really just, where's Adam Cole go from here? It's like Adam Cole just lost, and now he's just right back in the title picture. Where he's going is
so
the same place he was.
You've nailed it. And this is why it's interesting. I've been very, very honest about this. The only show I consistently watch at this point is Dynamite. Okay. So I'm inherently biased, right? Because it's the only show I watch.
there are very few acts on Dynamite. If you lined up the WWE equivalent in terms of just sheer talent, I wouldn't go, I'll take the WWE guy. Because that talent is elite, okay? They are used in such a poor fashion that I have no connection to these people. There are guys on AEW, and you know, Jeremy, I'm talking about here, that I truly, my brain is almost trained not to give a shit about, and yet the product is such that I actually do care. I actually do. And this is not fed bad AEW good. It's the same. Impact makes the most of like a very limited roster, you know? Ring of Honor does in the same way. And so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm giving you my subjective take on things. I do think I'm speaking for a lot of people when I say it, because I see a lot of this apathy. We like the talent. We find ourselves at a point where we feel actually unable to care because we have no faith. And I'm sorry, but if you think we're wrong for that, Aleister Black just closed SmackDown at an angle. He's not on the roster anymore. And if you think that as a fan, I should passionately wait 7 months for Aleister Black to return to shoot an angle that he's then fired days after. You got a lot more patience than me, because I don't want to be getting on here and getting mad and angry about, oh, they screwed us back. Like, I'm thankfully unsurprised by the whole thing, because it's very much on brand for me. So I don't know where this conversation has gone, Jim. I apologize, but it's just, it's a shame, because I think both of us, if we put together a big board of wrestling talent we love, I think so much of it is hosted in that company. And it's such a shame that they have rendered so many of them to be complete cogs on this big wheel. And it's just, there's no identity. There's no creativity. There's no kind of sense of personality, or it's just a shame. It is a real, real shame. And I mean that, you know, I'm not just doing it because that's what we're supposed to say. Like, it actually bums me out a little bit. But anyway.
The only story WWE can tell nowadays is the story of, we held this person down for however many years, and then finally they broke through. Like, it wasn't their own fault that they just weren't in this good position this entire time. I mean, that people talk about that Liv Morgan documentary where they just basically said, like, yeah, our creative was terrible. We didn't know what we were doing with her. She kept trying. She kept fighting. We ruined her confidence. They talk about this all the time with Rhea Ripley. Like, they did it with Tamina. Tamina's like, you know, oh, I was so thankful to finally get this title. I never thought I was going to get it. And Vince, you know, I finally saw it in me. Like, you've been in the company for 11 years. You could have done this 5 years ago. And granted, like, she improved. She worked hard and everything. But this is Kofi, the same thing. This is what they're going to do. Bobby, like, this is what they're going to do. Aleister Black's going to return in like 6 years, you know, when he's 40. And he's going to finally get the title and be like, oh, what a journey for Aleister Black. Right. You know, he worked so hard. He finally did it. And it's like, dude, he was really good 10 years ago at his peak, and you could have done this with him. And it didn't happen. This is why I do feel bad for, like, we follow some Stan accounts, Joseph. They're all over our time. I feel bad for some of these people. Like, they're just like, oh, yeah, man, they're doing this to my favorite. Like, one day they're going to get this chance. They're going to get it. They're going to get it. I'm just like, man, they're just probably not, honestly. Like, not right now. Like,
Use an example on this. Last week on SmackDown, the Riot Squad lost again.
They lost again, by the way, days after Natalya and Tamina were on Renee's podcast and praising both of them. And yes, to the point where another website ran the article that said, oh, Natalya may have spoiled the next women's tag team champions. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the headline they ran, because they were praising them so much and making it seem like Natalya really did. She's like, you know, we won these titles for Ruby and Liv. Like, we love them. We hope they win the titles. Like, we want to give them that opportunity and stuff. And then they're on SmackDown 2 days later in a non-title match, losing in 2 minutes, and then Ruby gets released.
Yes. I have friends that had fantasy booking plans fueled by the WWE.com things have got to change around here, Liv promo that Ruby did, you know? And listen, I will stress again, if you have the patience to follow those narratives that are being legitimately created by, at most, a writer and the wrestlers, but most likely the wrestlers,
I admire your patience. I am no longer at a point where I will do such a thing, okay? And if I'm wrong for that, maybe I am. I would never frame this show as a very, very professional, fair look at the industry because I don't watch enough of the industry. I'm telling you why me, as someone that was into the product enough when a lot of critics didn't like it, mere years ago, Jeremy, I went to New Orleans to watch WrestleMania and nearly died. And you know, critics wasn't, they weren't high on WWE then. I really, and people may disagree, I really think it's got infinitely worse even since then. I remember the summer of 2017, Roman, Brock, Braun, and Joe. And you sit there and you say, and this is just, look, guys, again, we love Roman. This is just one point in time. Okay, here's our options. We can make Braun Strowman and have him beat Brock Lesnar. Or we could make Samoa Joe as an older guy that the audience is filling. We could, you know, strike while the iron's hot and roll. What did they do of those? Neither. In fact, they didn't even get Roman the win because at WrestleMania he lost. They waited another year. And it's like, you can only, for me anyway, with each generation of fans, because each group of, like, each era of fans has different points. You can only so many times close the door on the audience, I feel, and be like, no. Before each crop of fans is like, you know what, I'm cool now. You know, I don't need to be. And I see it on social where it's like, the point I reached maybe 2 years ago, I see very loyal WWE fans reaching that same point now. And it'll be the same in 2 years from now and a year. And, you know, it's just a case of, it's like a, it's, you know, it's just, it's soul destroying. It's too dramatic, but it's kind of, it flattens you a little bit. You know, it's like you, it's wrestling, man. You want it to be escapism rather than, I seriously hope I don't fuck this up every week. That's just not fun. To me, it's not fun. That's why we had that conversation weeks ago about long-term planning. I don't like to watch the product in fear that it's about to go bad. I'd rather not do that. I like to just watch the product, but that's just me.
Even the wrestlers don't know what's going on. You, like, we joke about the Dusty promo on Raw Talk, right? Like, we joke about it. Peyton Royce, in her interview, she's like, I didn't get that Asuka match because of that promo. Like, I'm sure she was told to cut it, or maybe she just cut it to try to create some buzz for herself. If that's the case, good on her. She's like, I didn't get it because of that promo. It's like, someone got COVID and she gave me the match and that was that. And she wasn't used again. It's like, these wrestlers are trying. They're trying with different stuff. Aleister Black said it on Twitch yesterday. He's like, he posted the little vignette on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And WWE, they liked it. He had talks with them about using it on television. And then they're just like, I know, you know, we'll just kind of hold off on that and not explain things. Like, these wrestlers are trying and everything, and they're trying to get the fans involved, and they're trying to get them hooked in of, like, trying to make sense of stuff and getting themselves over and whatnot. It doesn't work. None of it works, and it sucks. Like, I feel bad for all these wrestlers, and I legitimately feel bad for the fans who, like, still want to hold out hope that their favorites are gonna get this shot. Like, right. I do.
Yeah. So this is what I think is interesting is, on an objective kind of wrestling critic level, I think enjoyed a lot of WWE pay-per-views in a row. It's just wrestling shows. So what we're talking about here, guys, we're not saying the product is like, it's just, there's no good. We agree the talent's great and we like watching them wrestle. Or I do anyway. Jeremy may not. I don't know. Depends what mood he's in. But
I don't like any wrestling. You know that, Joe.
This is fair. So that's where I'm at. So I'm not saying the product hasn't got, like, positives. What I'm saying is we're trying to talk about it in terms of, like, big picture, your interest, your emotional investment. What I think is interesting about where we're at now is when NXT got hot, while there was a fear that they would mess up these new stars, I do think there was an optimism at that time. An idea that their mindset had changed, the kind of approach had changed, there was new voices creatively, there was fresh talent. And not only is that in the fans, I think in the locker room, I would hate to consider the effect of what these recent releases have done, because frankly, a group of, whether they came from the indies or a you know, bodybuilding gig or whatever, there was a lot of guys and girls that came through the PC at the same time. And in that time, very few releases happened, right? They were one. And I honestly believe, as naive as it sounds, I honestly think these people view themselves as their family because they're all together doing this gig. When you start cutting some of the people they've cut that are beloved pieces of that puzzle, you do not only lose the optimism of their fans, I think internally, there's no good way to spin that, you know? you've seen the reaction from the talent. They can only say so much. But, like, there are some people now that are full-time, you know, only ever worked for WWE guys and girls that have legitimately had, like, 10 to 20 of their friends fired that they think the world of as talents. And I think, you know, it's easy for us to just sit here and maybe there's some truth to it. We just say, well, it's always been bad. Who cares? And I sometimes am guilty of that, right? I just, oh, who gives a shit? But I do think this is a kind of a moment in time where it's like, but there was an out here. There was an escape. Because a few years ago, it felt like things could actually change. And instead, I mean, you talk about apathy. It's just the dialogue, I someone blame me for it, Jeremy, but the dialogue is sad. It's frustration. And I'm not talking about guys like you and I who are cynics and don't give a shit. Anyway, I'm talking about people that want to like the product. People that are fans of the wrestlers and the brand they're wrestling for want to like the show. And the most stuff I see on my social is, oh, they cut this person I like. They did this shitty thing. I'm pretty confident this will not affect their business because that's just not really where we're at.
And the viewership is.
Right. Getting... Yeah, but it's, you know, as things are. Like, it's just right. People will get to pay a lot of money for a lot of shit. But I do think it's a real shame that there are people that actually enter the product with positivity and optimism, and they are constantly getting basically just nothing in return. You know, and I think that's a real bummer for the industry at large. Now, what I will say is, and this is, you know, obviously relevant for all the people that got cut, thankfully, we're at a point where the industry is maybe it's niche, maybe it's not growing, but it's healthy in terms of options.
Yes. Right?
And wrestling will be better for the fact that there is a higher level of talent spread across the wrestling world. And that's the truth of it. It will be. Because WWE runs a very, how do I put this? It's not simple, but it's quite broad strokes pro wrestling. And we do not need wrestling's McDonald's to hire the best chefs in the world. Okay? They can have some of them. They don't need 400 of them. I'd like the Wrestling Minds. I'd like to see a guy like Mark Henry, who's one of the great scouts going elsewhere. It doesn't have to be AEW. It doesn't have to be Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan, wherever. Wrestling is healthier for the standard of talent being higher in other companies. And as a fan, you should just watch what you enjoy. Everyone's taste is different, wherever you can find enjoyment. But it's our job, I think, to just like realign what we feel of just, it's a bummer. We don't want anyone to lose their jobs, but we all need to also be, let's get excited for what they're going to do next. These are awesome talents, man. They're going to kill it. You know, let's get fired up for that.
And that's sort of the consensus with a lot of people. I mean, especially the people who have been released over the last year. Deanna's very quickly to say things. Cardona, FTR, they're all very quickly to be like, look, it's going to suck. It's going to suck today. Might suck tomorrow. Might suck for a week or so. Like once that 30 days or 90 days, sorry, is up and like you have your options and you see what's out there and you see like what you're able to do elsewhere, whether it be in the wrestling world or whether it be in entertainment. Because I mean, take Renee, for example. She couldn't mention her husband in the book. She could not say John Moxley in her book while she was still in WWE. Like, you got to get that shit approved while you're still in WWE. Outside of there, you don't have to get the approval on this stuff. So people can flourish out. Like, Cardona, I mean, he's doing fine in Impact, but he's also got like 20 podcasts now that he does that he doesn't have to worry about, you know, okay, what's WWE going to say about this? Like Mickey James, kind of the same way. Like you can do a lot of this stuff outside of WWE. It sucks to lose your job. The immediate of it is very, very harsh. But like a lot of the talent who has been released has said, like, you're probably going to flourish outside of this stuff if you put your mind to it and if you just follow through with things. Because there are many options, whether wrestling world, podcasting world, entertainment world, there are so many options out there. And they've had the WWE platform to where like they kind of have a name and they kind of have a jump start over a lot of these people. So I think all these people are going to do good things. And yes, that is what I'm excited for them.
Yeah.
Because I think these people are going to be, I mean, I do think some are going to end up returning, but the people that don't, and maybe a guy like Braun, if he returns, he'll be better off for it too. But the people that end up going elsewhere and doing other things, they're going to find that creative freedom that they want, and they're going to be able to just perform. They're going to be able to wrestle. That's what a lot of these people want. How many times did like FTR and all these guys just say like, we don't care about titles and stuff. Like we just want to perform weekly. Like we just want to have matches, and you guys aren't even letting us doing that.
And look, we have a lot of fun at the expense of our friend Big Billy Corgan. But While I don't know if he belongs at the table of the major non-WWE promotions.
Oh, man, he was...
Right, but I understand this. There's an issue with him involving himself. I get that, but there is a truth to his message, isn't there? In the sense that while WWE attempts to host four brands of professional wrestling, four. It's very unlikely, though AEW now has got, you know, so many wrestlers, it's very unlikely that one promotion is going to produce a roster that can stand up in terms of depth, in terms of variety, and all these good things, okay? But if you can, it doesn't have to be everyone sharing, or like, every week, but if you can just be open-minded about what wrestling can be, and understand the audience has changed, they're not going to think Leo Rush sucks if he loses on a Dynamite. This could be a special era of wrestling. Now, again, let me stress, that doesn't mean it won't be niche. That doesn't mean we won't still be sweating bullets when they pull 800,000 viewers or whatever. What it means is, as an actual product, we could be entering a very unique time where everyone is just a little bit more open-minded and says, how about we actually do this match? You know, how about we actually ignore the fact that one of these guys has got to lay down and let's do a match, let's do a super show, let's do this, this, that, let's make everyone better. And my biggest point, I know Bob O'Neill's waiting in the wings, but AEW, it's not healthy them to have every good talent outside WWE. What is healthy is them as the promotion that more WWE eyes than any other company has, right? There's people that don't watch non-WWE wrestling but watch AEW. It's a thing. You've seen it. Well, I realized it when Kingston went there and so many AEW fans, they didn't know who he was. Like, it was clear to me. There's an audience that sees that product that doesn't see anything else. If their mindset can be what I just described, if they can be open to working, which they've shown they are, if they can actually open people's eyes and say, these promotions aren't shit, these are promotions. They're just different promotions. They can talk about New Japan. They can talk about Impact, maybe a Ring of Honor, an MLW. It's about, in terms of perception, this reframe things and look at this as, this is the wider wrestling world and there is a lot of fun shit that can happen in that world. And we don't need to always worry about what WWE is doing in its successfully isolated position, what they have achieved. They've got themselves away from that. Okay, well, let's make the rest of the world better then. You know, let's actually try and make these things happen. Let's knock down these walls. Let's actually make it vibrant and allow it to flourish. This has turned into some sort of presidential speech, which was not my plan. Please bring Bob O'Neill on. History title, man!
Robert O'Neill is here. Hello, Robert O'Neill.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
I don't know. Joseph is... I don't know what Joseph is doing. He's crying like you yesterday on the podcast. I don't...
It's bad.
O'Neill, it was a tough day for you yesterday, I heard, as your favorite wrestler, Braun Strowman, got released. How are you feeling today,
well,
buddy?
I mean, Braun Strowman's not my favorite wrestler. I think it's a very funny bit.
What?
I think it was very well coordinated that everyone... All those videos were hilarious, I'm not going to lie, but, you know...
I was told, please send Bob O'Neill a message. His favorite wrestler, Braun Strowman, got released. He's having a tough day. Joseph is messaging me. He said, hey, you know, I did the podcast with O'Neill, and just in the middle of it, he started breaking down and crying. Can you edit this out? You know, can you make some changes to it? I had to go in last night. I had to edit everything to make sure it flowed, because there's just a gap where Joseph is just sitting there looking at the camera, and he's like, well, folks, Bob has left. He's taking a break for now. I can hear him crying. It could literally be heard crying in the other room, yes. O'Neill. It was very sad.
Yeah, I'm doing better today, though.
That's good.
Good. We're glad to hear that.
Today. What are we talking about, O'Neill? I actually know.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about this
week. Yeah.
You signed yourself up for it.
I did. I got my shirt on, too. There we go.
Oh, there we go.
So it's Robert O'Neill's penalty box, which there's no 3-minute penalty in hockey. You know?
Yeah, well, we're not going to do it for 5 minutes. We could do it for 2 minutes if you want, but
do a double minor.
No, we're not doing four. Minutes? We can do two.
What if we do 3 minutes and then they score on the power play?
There we go.
Like the Avs did last night in overtime.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Oh, I'm going to play the. I didn't make you a graphic because I don't know how long the penalty box is going to last. We're going to take Joseph off screen. He doesn't know anything about hockey.
It's probably going to last 1 week.
Like if my team wins, which is not going to, it's gonna last a lifetime, O'Neill. History title, bang! All right, what are we talking about? Go ahead.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the first edition of Robert O'Neill's Penalty Box. Jeremy, thanks for joining me. You are in the penalty box today. Sorry to hear that.
That sucks. What did I? Oh my god. Oh.
But yeah, thanks for joining us. I'm glad you were able to be on our spinoff after our success with Jack Crosby last week. You know, your Colorado Avalanche are up 2-0 against the Vegas Golden Knights. Big overtime win last night. I think we should start talking about the penalty. You don't see many penalties in overtime in Stanley Cup final or Stanley Cup playoff games. And it was kind of cheap. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean,
he shouldn't have slashed the stick out of his hands, O'Neill. What is Riley Smith doing? Slashing the sticks out of his hands. They missed the penalty earlier when Landeskog gets cross-checked in the face off the face-off. That should have been a four-minute penalty right there. So look, was it a little soft for an overtime? Yes, but usually when the stick gets slashed out of the hands, it's a penalty. Like Rantanen said in the post game, said like, if I drop my stick there and they don't call a penalty, then I'm a dude without a stick off of a face-off loss. So I don't think he intentionally did it. Like Pete DeBoer says, oh, they're embellishing and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little upset because it happened with the Blackhawks 7 years ago against the Kings when they didn't call a slash, and then Alec Martinez scored the goal to send them to the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I wish they would have called it then, but, you know,
Alec Martinez still playing, man. He scored last night against us. I don't like that dude.
No, it's crazy. He had the goal against the Blackhawks, and didn't he have it against the Rangers, too, to win the Cup for them? I believe that was also him.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, we're not going to talk about stuff from 7 years ago. You know, Nathan MacKinnon, he's always been good, but he's really this postseason just been probably the best player in the playoffs.
You don't think Connor McDavid's been better in the postseason?
You know, my thing about Connor McDavid, he racks up points, but it's just him and the one other guy in Edmonton. They need help, man.
It's Draisaitl, O'Neill. Come on, yes. you gotta get these people right. Look, I love Nathan MacKinnon. He's the best player in hockey to me. People are in my mentions. Oh, does Alex Ovechkin not exist in the playoffs? In these playoffs, no, Alexander Ovechkin does not exist. No. He's out.
What year is it that we're still propping up Alex Ovechkin too? You know,
fair, yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I think the Avs are going to win the Stanley Cup. I know you don't,
I picked Vegas. I'm sticking with Vegas because. I'm going with them, but I just don't like picking my team. I don't like setting myself up for that disappointment. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. It's funny to me that it looks like for like the 29th straight year, it's not going to be a team from Canada. That's a great bit.
What'd you make of that hit last night? Shifley, Mark Shifley laying him out.
It's not great, man. They got to do something about it.
All right, we've scored on the power play. There we go. It's over. She had a goal horn. O'Neill, do you have a goal horn?
No, I have. You know what I do have, and I'm going to play it. You'll like this.
Okay.
Hold on. It's taking a minute.
Clearly.
Great.
We see great stuff.
Hold on. I'm just playing it on my computer. It'll be fine.
Okay. Sounding very stressed then, Bob. I'm going to be like, oh, my goodness.
You should drop off a cliff when O'Neill comes on to talk hockey, which, I mean, that's fair, honestly. Oh, there we go. That's the penalty killed. Yeah.
I know. I wanted to play it. I knew you'd like it. And there we go. Yeah.
That's the Avs penalty kill there from the Mario. I do enjoy that. All right, O'Neill, you're gone. Joseph, talk about anything else?
Were there some questions? Should we hit some questions before we hop out of here?
Yes. We got questions from the Distraction Choice members, patreon.com/thedistraction. You can send us questions and we'll answer them here on the main show. What do we got, Joseph? Mm-hmm.
So we've got 7 questions. Would you like to hit them all now or would you like to save some? What do you want me to do?
We can save some for Twitch.
Okay, I'll pick out. Okay, let's have a look. This is a good one from Jake. Jake actually sent a basketball question and a wrestling one because he has respect for our time. We appreciate that. So we'll hit both for the sake of content, and then we'll leave the rest for the Twitch. We'll do that, right? That seems fair.
That's fair.
Now, we'll start with wrestling because you just did 5 minutes on hockey, and I feel people would, you know. Early predictions for heavyweight, women's, tag, and TNT titles are all out. Any big surprise debuts, ideally the Samoan Joe question mark, which of course is a reference to my father, not Roman Reigns. Okay. Now, this is interesting. I thought it would be a fun one. We could kind of conclude here because we don't talk about AEW enough on our podcast. So
today we didn't.
I mean, we kind of did. I did a lot of that, you know, fed bad, AEW good thing, which Phil hate. Hangman and Omega, we're locking in, right?
Yeah.
Feels like Saturn. Yeah. Okay. We'll lock that in, and I think we both think title change, correct?
Yes.
Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, or is the NWO stuff too messy?
I said, I don't remember if I said it on Twitch. I don't remember if I said it on the post show here on YouTube. I think it's Rosa. I think you go back to that match for the title. That's, I don't think the NWA stuff is messy at all. I think if Tony Khan is like, hey, we're going to use her for this pay-per-view, Corgan's not in much of a position to be like, no. So no, I think it's Thunder Rosa at All Out.
What is the alternative?
If they sign somebody, I mean, they'll have some contracts up by the end of it. Like
Mickey James could be interesting.
Mickey. Yeah. Chelsea. I mean, you could do a crossover with Deonna. If she loses the title, or even if she doesn't lose the title, Serena Deeb is an option too. Like they got options. I think it's Statlander. Somebody mentioned in the chat. There you go. I think it's Thunder Rosa though.
Could also be Ty Conti, right? There's some names on there. Have they done Britt and Ty? Did Ty work Serena? She worked, that was her big match, right? I want to say.
I'll double check on Britt.
Okay, go ahead. It's nice that we actually fill up with a couple of options there, even if some of them were outside the company. It is cool. Now, interesting one is, what about the tag titles? Bucks? Go ahead.
Britain's I have not wrestled in a singles
match. There you go. So the Bucks are interesting. Well, I think there's a real chance, someone mentioned this on Twitch, or maybe it was last week's actual show, Jack. Is there a chance we leave All Out with John Silver, Reynolds, and Paige as champs? You know, they put the tags on.
I think I said that.
Yeah. Okay. Where's the chat? Okay. Is that where we're going? That's actually, it's either that or Santana and Ortiz, I feel.
It could be Santana and Ortiz. I still feel like you got to get them away from Inner Circle if you're going to do that. I'm thinking it's Dark Order. I said Silver and Reynolds, and you're also, and then Hangman as well. I kind of think like it's a Dark Order night at All Out.
People would pop for that huge, right? Like Silver actually being the guy that gets a pin on the Bucks. I'm with that. TNT is probably the hardest to predict because it's the least long-term reliant, right? It's like, it could be a whole bunch of guys. Miro will obviously still be the champ, and I'm pretty sure he'll leave the pay-per-view as champ. Still, I think he's going to have this belt for some time. So it's like...
Disagree. Here's my big pitch to you, Joseph.
Is it Cody again?
It's Cody. No.
Andrew has made his fueled you with this shit and you refuse. I think Pac is a candidate for this.
Yeah.
You know? I could see them doing it. I know they like to feature Pac pretty high on the card. He didn't get pinned on Sunday, so it's not like one of those cases where they're gonna go, we don't want to beat him too often.
What if it's Orange in Miro?
Maybe. I wouldn't go back to them too that quickly because even though it was mostly about a tag, they were linked in the whole. I would give that some more time, basically. You know, the whole best friend stuff?
Yeah, fair.
It's interesting. The TNT one's obviously the hardest to kind of nail down. But any big surprise debuts, I think if they're doing a woman's battle, one of these names is going to be the Joker, right? Yes. I'm going to guess Ruby. That'll be my just guess.
She would be free. Aleister Black said September is when, September 2nd. Is when his expires. I assume that's for everybody else. Mm-hmm. One of them is definitely going to be the Joker. Ruby's a good shout. I don't know if it'll be her. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards it being Chelsea as the Joker.
Okay, that's interesting. As for the Samoan Joe, where are we at on the Samoan Joe?
I think he comes in earlier than All Out.
Do you think he's an AEW guy?
Yes.
See, this is not a scoop, but a lot of the powers are on this Impact thing, man.
Hmm.
You know, and when I say power, like, you know, they're people that they're not reporting it to me. They're just like, you know, they check Twitter likes and shit like that. They're all on this Impact thing. And I just think it's like such an ill fit, but maybe, I don't know. I guess they pay well enough and they let you work elsewhere. Like, I've always felt, people can go back to the first Shaft of the releases, like, I always felt Joe was an AEW guy.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it makes more sense financially, schedule-wise, all of the above. Even the way they do their TV, he could be a promo guy for them. So, yeah, I actually tend to agree. I think he'll be in first. Andrade, what's the... Andrade is like... he's waited so long to move that now there's like 15 free agents been added since he left.
I think he's just doing whatever he kind of wants. I think he ends up kind of with ROH because he likes hanging out with his guys. He's with Federacion Wrestling with those guys, the Ingobernables guys. So I kind of think that's where he's at. And I do think like he's a guy who sort of ends up back in WWE as well. He's talked about he still wants to be WWE champion. Obviously, Charlotte's there and everything. I just kind of think he has these cool matches and everything, hangs with his buddies, and then just ends up back in WWE.
That's going to be a really interesting kind of like narrative to form. The guys that intend to go back, if they're more hesitant to go to AEW, you know, that would be interesting to see because it wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, for the question we really want, Jake has a basketball question, and it is an absolute all-timer. Here we go. Oh, I'll start with the less interesting one because the other one is tremendous. Who is the most fun player to watch in the league? He suggests it's between Luka and Dame. I think both are going to go with Steph.
Yeah, Steph is still very fun. Dame, the other night, I was saying Luka too. Like, dude, that Mavericks team sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, did you see that stat that Luka scored or assisted on all the six bet? What? Like, in a playoff win? Like, what? Huh?
Yeah, they can't do anything about it either. They've got all these great defenders and they can't stop.
No, that's absolutely insane, that number. Yeah, yes. I'm going with Steph. Dame and Luka are right there, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's still Steph. That dude is tremendous to watch.
No, I agree. This one is, speaking of wing defenders on the Clippers, where does Nick Batum rank on your list of guys you want to shoot down one under 10 seconds left in the game?
Can we talk about this, Joseph? I got a hot take for you, Joseph. All right. Okay. You ready? Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan with a couple lucky bounces. That's all he is. No. That's all he is, Joseph.
When I close my eyes at night, I still see the fuck up in the Raptors jersey. Getting a switch on JJ Redick and going after him. It's horrible. I would never slander the Kawhi. I'm too fearful.
I get you can't slander him, but This is their embarrassing performances from this guy. This season. Like, he's just not doing... His fourth quarter last night was terrible. His fourth quarters throughout these playoffs with the Clippers haven't been good. But I love the slander Paul George. I love it. But Kawhi has not been good, man. He just hasn't.
Have you considered it's my fault? Because I have. I was in on the Clippers again. Then could confirm they were actually bad once more, which was not surprising to me, but was sort of a blow to my prediction they would come out the West. I then, at 2-0 down, conclude they would actually be swept, only for them to win the next two games in a fashion that I said, the Clippers will once again win this series, only for them to lose immediately after I did that. If we considered it is not my, like, it may in fact not be Kawhi's fault, it could be mine. I've considered this.
Alfred, Kawhi isn't a two-way guy either right now. He's just letting Patrick Beverley switch on to Luka instead of guarding himself. I don't truly believe this, but man, Kawhi ain't getting enough. This is where the rings culture like works in reverse here, Joseph. Because when Toronto won the ring, everyone's like, oh, Kawhi, like he might be the best player in the league, right? Like definitely like top two, top three. It's like, man. Like I was kind of one of these people. He's good, but this Clippers run, man. This Clippers run.
You know who's an interesting one with the rings culture? Because he's not got a ring. The Jimmy Butler talk was interesting this year. Now, I avoid Jimmy because I never want to come across bitter or like a scorned lover. I did love him on the Sixers. I still like him a lot. Hey, if PG as first option plays the way Jimmy did, he may just get sniped. He may just get taken out and removed from the league.
I mean, it was insane. By Bryn Forbes.
Didn't he shoot like 29? Was it 29% from the floor?
It was bad.
He was locked in. Imagine if he wasn't locked in.
He was locked in. He was locked in.
Yes, and now they've all made that decision. You've seen this? Like, he's Jimmy's looking for like 50 mil a year at 36, bro. Seems bad.
Yeah.
It's tough. The NBA is so hard, bro. Like last season, people looked like they were in a good position, and then now it's, you know, look at the Celtics. One of the questions, actually, before we get out of here, I'll do this. Bud Ryan asked, tremendous graphic, man, Bud Ryan boy. He said, who do we think the Celtics' new head coach will be, and are you confident that Stevens in the front office makes them better at all? Look, I think a new leadership is good. We all agree on that much. Like, they needed a new approach to this. As for the coach, great first names they're looking at, huh? Good job, guys.
I told my friend Jason Kidd was on the list, and he's like, this guy either has the best or the worst agent because he gets all of these interviews, but none of these jobs.
Dude, if he's the guy, like, if he actually gets this job, it will be an all-time grin for me. I will be very – just because you know where it's going to go. It did surprise me, though, didn't you? I was shocked that was the way they were going. Like, it really caught me. When I saw that he was trending, Fred said, I was like, oh, they fired him? That shocked me. And then I realized what was going on. It was like, man, they're going to start getting rid of them second-round picks, I guess. Huh? Ainge ain't going to keep them anymore, locked away. It'll be interesting.
Bill Simmons is going to be the new coach, is my guess.
What a fault. Just what a fault that is. Every mid-range shot or when there's a center on the floor, he's just like, it's over. We're done here. Tatum's gone. It did fight with the Sixers. The Sixers played very spirited basketball last night, and I loved watching them. But the Simmons at the center thing is like such a just meme at this point, you know? Like, you know, they're going, well, you could do so many things with me. It's like, Doc's not going to do any of these things. He just stands in the dunkers. Like, it's fine. He can play center because he's a great. He can basically guard a five like the ones they have, he can deal with, right? Like, unless you're going to, you know, get a guy like Embiid, ironically, he'll be fine. But the idea that we're going to run this really creative offense, like, not really. Ben just comes up and hands it off and then goes to the dunker spot. He could play at the 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. It's not going to do anything different. But nonetheless, I won't talk about the 6 anymore because it hurts my feelings. So, yeah,
we'll leave it. They're moving on.
Yeah, but it's over, bro. Embiid's like, the way they're talking about Embiid, it's one of those deals where you just know. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bummer because he's had such a good season. So, oh, well, here's what it is, folks.
It'll be fine. Do you think he beat the Hawks?
If Embiid can play at, like, you know, two-thirds of his own level, then yes. If Embiid doesn't get on the floor, it's a shootout, man, because they've got scorers. Our offense isn't good with Embiid particularly, let alone about him. It's not, you know, it's rough. It's difficult. It bums me out. But, like, we all know the situation with Embiid, right? Like, shit happens. I'm not necessarily surprised they got hurt. Like, I'm a familiar pain to me.
Make some bold predictions for tonight, Joseph. Suns, point guard, my guy, my fellow point guard, Chris Paul, they get it done?
It's a massive game. I didn't actually watch the last game because I was watching Portland, Denver, and they had the score in the top row, and I was like, oh, they're down 40 points. I'm not going to be taking that one. I don't know, man. I'm you know, in the same way that I'm done with the Clippers, I'm like that with LeBron. Like, I ain't rushing to doubt him, you know?
Yeah.
The other guys were, like, historically bad. Historically bad in that last game. So Schroeder got 0 points.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
So, like, my instincts are they take this to the game 7, which I think as a fan I would like, just as a neutral, right? It's the most fun. But there's a chance this team just kind of sucks about AD, and there's no shame in that. Like, it happens. It does happen.
I don't know if the team, like, sucks without AD. I mean, clearly they're different. I just think, like, they need the two stars, right? Like, that's – they're a two-star team, and without LeBron – or without AD and with just LeBron, it's just different, right? Like, it's just –
yes.
The rest of those guys just not quite good enough.
It's interesting, though, because in Schroeder and even, like, Harrell and Gasol, they added guys that, in theory – should have more like offensive weapons than a guy like a Danny Green who just stands and shoots it, you know?
Yes.
But because of how Schroeder's playing and the fact that Montrezl Harrell's general issues that we've seen before in playoffs have reared their head again, they seem like a lesser than team when they really should be better. this group should be better suited to play without AD than last year's. But I, watching them, I don't even know that will be the case. Like, Schroeder's just, I don't know. It's not worked out. I assume he's not going to get that contract he was looking for, is what I would guess.
Yeah, he probably should have taken taken that money. But what can you know? He wasn't good.
The Gasol stuff is like, I just play Gasol. Like, I know he looks kind of like old and shitty sometimes. But like, he just, like, upstairs, he's operating on such a different level than Drummond and Montrezl Harrell. You know, like, just
Harrell, play him, dude. They gave Harrell that big contract, and like, he can't get on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was what the Clippers fans said should have happened, but Doc, like, refused to take him off, right? Doc just was like, analytics suck, which is definitely an approach to have while Daryl Morey is now your GM. I will not comment on that any further either. When did this become NBA Tonight? I don't know, man, about 18 months ago.
Yeah, that's what it's always been. Watch the product.
So we give you guys some, like, heavy wrestling. So my voice actually went up in tone a couple of times. I was getting fired up. I'm very hot here. The heat's getting tough here in Britain, folks. I mean, I know you don't think it's, like, ever sunny here, but sometimes it gets kind of hot. By the way, I do have to send a happy birthday wish to Akash Sharma, who in the chat asked me to send him one about 90 minutes ago, but I decided to wait to the end of the show, and I know he's not watching. A mentor of mine, he claimed this morning, Jeremy, that he taught me how to write. Which I would suggest is not true because he met when I was about 20. But nonetheless, happy birthday to him. Best wishes if he's somehow still watching this program and all that good stuff. We will see you on the Twitch for the post show.
I saw Akash post out in the chat and I was going to bring it up and I didn't know if it was legit or not. I didn't know if he was trolling, you know? Wasn't sure. Chris Paul should get $100 million a year. You kidding me? He should get whatever he wants. It's the point guard. And Alfred, I'm glad Kawhi had good scoring games in those games. What did he do? What's he been doing in the fourth quarter of these games, huh? What's he been doing in the fourth quarter? Wasn't good. Not good. Got to close these games if you're Kawhi Leonard. Phil Lindsay's here. We should bring Phil on for some basketball talk. Phil, you want to join? Yeah, he's in the chat. Phil, you want to join us on Twitch for some basketball talk? Shoot me a DM. All right, everybody. Joseph, plug some stuff.
No.
Okay. We'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Come hang out. We'll probably keep talking basketball. We had questions from our Patreon. We'll answer those. What else? What else we got? Patreon.com/TheDistraction. Do that. You can go there. Give us a dollar. Give us more than a dollar, you know? Give us more than a dollar. I'm glad the Clippers aren't getting swept. They're supposed to win the title. They might lose to a team with one player. One player. Have you seen Chris? The Mavericks played Boban last night, Joseph.
Bro, I'm not doing this. I've told you, I'm ride or die with the Clippers for some reason. I don't know why I do this myself. I assume they're winning the championship, Jeremy. I've told you this before. You're not going to convince me until they're home. I don't know why. I'm scared of Kawhi. Stop making me slander Kawhi. I'm scared of him. Please, man.
Clippers are probably just going to win the title, and I'm not stupid. That's fine. We'll talk to everybody later on.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.